talking this month about enjoying the blessings of a spiritual life. How many know that you've got to develop your spiritual life? It begins by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you spend a lifetime growing and developing in God and becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen? And if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Romans 8. We've been talking about what a spiritual person does and what it means to be a spiritual person, and we've given several examples of different things, but now we're going to get to the benefits. I don't know about you, but I love the benefits. Amen? And if you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at some of the benefits that we have in developing our spiritual life. God is a God of benefits. You know, He daily loads us with benefits. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So notice verse 2, Romans 8, 2. And if you have your shouting clothes on, these would be good places to give the Lord a shout. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life. Did you know that we have a law of a spirit? And it's all about life. Amen. And just like any laws, there are rules to follow when laws are enacted, aren't they? And for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Woo! I am so glad that we are free from sin and death. Sin and death does not dominate us anymore. But we have a new law working in us. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus was the one whom we get the benefits through. When you know Jesus, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you are a child of God, and you are accepted, and you have access to all of God's goodness. Amen? Now go down to verse 6. Another benefit of to develop our spiritual lives, it says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Aren't life and peace good benefits? Amen. Well, what does it mean to be spiritually minded? Your mind thinks about spiritual things. You can either think about natural things or you can think about spiritual things. Amen. But you got to be spiritually minded. All right? You've got to constantly and continually think like a spiritual person. The Bible said in Philippians that we can let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Did you think Jesus ever thought about defeat? He never had an attitude of defeat about him, all right? So to be spiritually minded means you're victory minded, amen? To be spiritually minded means you're healed minded, because that law produces life and peace. Amen? You're not focused on trouble, you're focused on peace. Now, granted, we're going to experience trouble in life, but the peace that comes from God can supersede the trouble that's happening in our lives. Amen? Amen. God gives us a peace that passes understanding. And the Bible also says that He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Has your mind ever wandered on things? Anybody ever lose their focus and you daydream or you think about other things, or you know, you got a million things that you're thinking about and you get so bogged down? If we just shift our thinking just a little bit, we can experience life and peace. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a benefit that we can experience. All right, go with me to Galatians. Well, let's go down a little bit here. There's a lot here in Romans chapter 8. Notice verse 11. Another benefit that we have to be a spiritual person, to develop our spiritual side of life. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. How many know that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Okay? He's talking to you. He said, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Think about that for a minute. The power that resurrected Jesus can dwell in you. Resurrection power. You were designed, you were created to be a container of resurrection power. Notice what it says. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Another benefit is that our bodies get quickened. What does that mean, quickened? It means to make alive. It means to energize. It means to strengthen. It means to empower. Simply, you get power from God simply by having the Holy Spirit dwell in you. Amen? Jesus told his disciples, he said, the Spirit is with you and he shall be in you. And when Jesus rose from the dead, when he resurrected, the time came for the day of Pentecost where God poured out his Spirit on all flesh. Everybody say, all flesh. Every one of us have access to the Spirit of God, and you can accept him. He is a free gift. He's in addition to, yes, he comes in you when you're saved, but he empowers you for service. He empowers you to follow the Lord. He empowers you to witness. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's something about the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of you. He will literally quicken your mortal bodies. He will wake you up. Go down to verse 15. Notice this. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Let me tell you something. Fear is not in a believer's DNA. You have the right to resist fear. Now, fear can knock on your door, but that doesn't mean you have to open your door and let it in. Fear can be in the midst of you, but it doesn't have to be in you. Amen? Fear can try to make you afraid, but you don't have a spirit of fear. Okay? We have not received the spirit of bondage. Again, there is a spirit of bondage that causes people to fear. If you're a fearful person, I've got the cure for fear. Because Jesus is here, he'll send your fear out the door. Notice, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've been adopted. We've been engrafted in to God's family. Amen. We weren't born Jews, but we're adopted Jews. I work for a rich Jew. His retirement plan is out of this world. Amen. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters underneath. He's in all kinds of businesses. He's a shepherd. He's the best shepherd you'll ever have. He's a good shepherd. Amen? And we have been adopted into his family. Now, what's significant about adoption? When a parent adopts a child, they chose that child. Amen? They make a willful choice to say, I'm going to make you mine. And when someone is adopted, they have all the rights and privileges just like they were born into that family. Amen. We have all the rights and privileges that come through knowing Jesus Christ because we've been adopted. We have the spirit of adoption in us. And we can cry, Abba. We can call God Daddy. Yeah, amen. You can sit on God's lap. Amen. You can hug him. He can direct you. After all, Father knows best. Amen? And the Spirit itself, that should be himself, because the Spirit of God is not an it. He's not like the Adams family. You know, they had a cousin it. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you become a child of God, God sends a signal to you. Just like NASA, when they put a satellite in orbit, all right? There's a lot of equations and a lot of mathematics and a lot of science that go into putting, they've got to project into the future, All right? And they launch a satellite and they put it in orbit. And how do they know that that is in the right place? Because that satellite will send back a signal to Houston Command, right? They'll send back a signal to let them know that the satellite is where it should be. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He sends you a signal. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. He says, you're a child of God. God eliminates doubts. If you ever doubt that you're a child of God, you need to get in tune with the signal that He's sending. Amen. Amen? Maybe you're not on the right frequency. How many know that in order to pick up a frequency, you got to tune in, right? So those are benefits. Now, verse 17. If you're children, then what are you? We're heirs. Say, I'm an heir. Amen. Ladies, you're an heiress. Men, you're an heir. That's a benefit of developing your spiritual life. If children, how do you know you're children? Because the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit helps you identify who you are. Did you know that you have a spiritual identification? And you can identify yourself as a Christian, someone who knows Christ because Christ is on the inside of you. That's who you are. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What's a joint heir? Whatever Christ gets, you get. Amen? And whatever benefit He gets, you get. You're a joint heir. You get the same thing that He gets.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, we get the same thing that Jesus gets. Amen? If Jesus defeated the enemy, we can defeat the enemy. If Jesus could feed over 5,000 people, that means if 5,000 people show up at your house, you can feed them. Because you're a joint heir with Him. The same thing that He gets, you get. Amen? Was God pleased with Jesus? Then if you stay in Christ Jesus, then He's going to be pleased with you. Because we're joint heirs. Hallelujah. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Hallelujah. This just is another indication. Look at verse 6. Well, let's go to verse 5. Jesus came so that to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, when He says sons, He's not excluding daughters. Amen? Amen. So, ladies, don't take offense because He only uses the word sons. He's including you too. Amen. How do I know that? Because there were some ladies whose father died and they didn't have an inheritance. So they went to Moses and they said, Moses, we don't have an inheritance. We want what was designated for our father because there was no male in that family line to carry on that line. And Moses went before God and God said, go ahead and give them their inheritance because it is right. Amen? So ladies, He means you too. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Did you know that you have God's Spirit in your hearts?
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
This is the way that God communicates to you. This is how God reveals things to you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. These are some benefits. You want to look at some more benefits?
Yeah.
Okay. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, some of you, you work with dogs, right? Dogs have a pedigree, don't they, when they're purebred? And they have paperwork to trace their family line, all right? And when you get a purebred, you get all the paper. I've never owned a purebred. I've only had mutts. Fiona's not into having dogs. We probably won't have any animals, but if we did, we'd have a dog. I'm a dog person. You know, I got to tell you a funny story. We were living in Tennessee, and Fiona and I were married, and I was out of work because I was working in a Christian school. And Fiona was working, and a friend of hers, they were roommates in college. She was living in an apartment, and someone dropped off this puppy. It was about 6 to 8 weeks old. It was white. It was a Labrador Retriever. All right? Beautiful. And because she lived in an apartment, she couldn't take care of the dog. All right? So she wondered if we could take care of it because we just happened to have a fenced-in backyard that was empty. And so, sometimes you got to be sneaky. So you know what I did? I mean, this puppy was adorable. It was like the color of Julie's scarf. All right? So what I did was I took this puppy to where Fiona worked. And everybody was saying, oh, how cute the puppy is. Oh, guess what? We had a puppy. Amen? And we named her Jayla. And at first, Pastor Fiona was afraid of dogs, but she taught the dog how to give high fives. It was amazing. Anyway, it's just a funny story. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to show you your pedigree, all right? And let's look at verse 20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. He's talking about the old man and the new man, okay? But if so be that you have heard him, how many have heard him? Okay? Hearing the word of God produces faith in your heart. Okay? And have been taught by him. How many know that teaching is important? It's important to be part of a church that teaches the truth. Amen? Because they're so far and few between today. And then he said, as the truth is in Jesus. Did you know that the truth isn't in anything else? There's one truth, and the truth is in Jesus. He is the truth. Okay? That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Aren't you glad that you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind? All right, you've got to listen to Jesus. And then he says, verse 24, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What is your pedigree? Your pedigree as a believer in Christ Jesus means you were created by God as a new creation, as a new creature. You are created and patterned after Jesus, after God himself. So your pedigree comes from heaven. Amen. You are a heaven man. You are a heaven woman. Your origin comes from, listen, you're just passing through. You may be a citizen of America, but you are also a citizen of heaven. Amen. And when this place passes by, there's still going to be a heaven. There's still going to be a heaven to enjoy and to learn and to do things. But this is how God made us. This is our pedigree as Christians. Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you come from God, you know what that means? That means you're born of the Word. That means that just like God created this world with His Word, He can create your life. And sin will demolish your life, but the truth will recreate your life. Yeah, amen. Amen? If you didn't enjoy being born, then be born again. Yeah. Amen? Because God is good. Yeah. All right, in 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm sorry, chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Peter 1, 21, it says this, "Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Where does your faith and hope need to be in? It needs to be in God alone. When it comes to matters of faith, you can't have faith in anything else but God. Amen? Don't put your faith in people. Don't put your faith in money. Amen? Put your faith in God. Because God can create anything that you need, want, and desire. All right? "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." Did you know that through your obedience, you purify your life? The more obedient you are to follow God's commands, the more pure of a life you'll have. And because here's what happens. When you obey the truth, you get washed with holy water. Amen? Ephesians 5 talks about how we can be washed with the water of the Word of God. And as that word washes over you, it cleanses you from all the filth that's come to us from being in the world. But through obedience, we purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This is how we have to carry out our spiritual life. You got to love your brothers and sisters fervently, like Jesus loves you. Amen? And he'll give you his love to do it, so he doesn't expect you to do it on your own. So, but then here he goes on, verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed." The seed that God caused the new birth is void of corruption. It is actually incorruptible. It is actually pure. Okay? "Being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever." So how you get born again is you put your faith in the word of God. When you put your faith in the word, he regenerates you. He makes you brand new on the inside, and you become a new creature. And now you have this new spiritual life that you can walk in, that you can develop, that you can grow in, that you can progress in. But I just wanted you to know that you've been born with incorruptible seed. God took his seed and put it in your heart. His seed is the word. And when he put his word in your heart, a change took place on the inside of you. And you became instantly a child of God. Okay? I like that. How many has ever heard of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday was a baseball player in the 1880s. And then he got converted to Christ, and he became a powerful evangelist. And this is what they found in Billy Sunday's Bible. I have to read this to you. Okay? 29 years ago, with the Holy Spirit as my guide, I entered at the portico of Genesis. Walk down the corridor of the Old Testament art galleries where pictures of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel hang on the wall. I passed into the music room of the Psalms where the Spirit sweeps the keyboard of nature until it seems that every need and pipe in God's great organ responds to the harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. Okay, this was in his Bible. I entered the chamber of Ecclesiastes, where the voice of the preacher is heard, and into the conservatory of Sharon and the lily of the valley, where the sweet spices perfumed my life. I entered the business office of Proverbs, and into the observatory of the prophets, where I saw telescopes of various sizes pointing to far-off events. concentrating in the bright and morning star, which was to rise above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. I entered into the audience room of the King of Kings, catching a vision written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thence into the correspondence room with Paul, Peter, James, and John writing their epistles. I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, where tower the glittering peaks, where sits the King of Kings upon his throne of glory, and the healing of the nations in his hand. And I cried out, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all." Amen. Billy Sunday, at the time, in the height of his career, he left a $3,500 salary to work for $73 a month in a mission. And he became a powerful evangelist. Actually, I read that some of his preaching had part in Prohibition. You know, he was a funny guy. Let me just read you some of his quotes. He said to someone, "The reason you don't like the Bible, you old sinner, is because it knows all about you." I like that. And he said, "Listen, I'm against sin." This is a quote of Billy Sunday. "I'll kick it as long as I've got a foot. I'll fight it as long as I've got a fist. I'll butt it as long as I've got a head. And I'll bite it as long as I've got a tooth. And when I'm old, fistless, toothless, and footless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory and it goes home to perdition." And he said this, he said, "Give your face to God and he will put his shine on it." Yeah. I like that. But those are just some things. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. These all fall under the benefits. 1 Corinthians 15:1 this morning. The benefits of a spiritual life is you have someone to rescue you when no one else is around. When you've reached the depth of humanity, there's someone that can pick you up out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock. Hallelujah. We have a deliverer. We have a savior. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He wants to be involved in your life. Now, he will be involved in your life as much as you want him involved. You know, when you get born again, God just doesn't push you out of the driver's seat and take over. You still have a will. You still have the ability to choose. And you can either choose God or you can choose something else. And God never forces his way, but he is very persuasive, isn't he? Just ask Jonah. Amen? But in 1 Corinthians 15, it gives us a clear pattern of the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. And look at verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." So we were sown in corruption, but we're raised in incorruption. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? And eventually, this corruption, this mortal body, is going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. When Jesus comes again, our bodies are going to be changed to be just like him when he comes. We're going to put on our glorified bodies in an instant. Amen. And we're going to reign with him forever. I'm looking forward to that. Okay? Then he goes on to say, it is verse 43, "It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory." So our bodies are sown in dishonor and humiliation, but we're raised in honor and glory. Say, "I've been raised in glory." What does that mean? We are now raised to experience the goodness and the glory of God. We were singing about his presence today. But you know what? His presence, excuse me, his presence is not just reserved for this time right here. You can enjoy God's presence wherever you are, whatever time of the day, amen? We always have access to God 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We can benefit from the glory of God. I'll tell you what, spend an hour in the glory of God and see what kind of changes take place in your perspective, in your life. Okay, verse 44, it is sown in the natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. So we're sown, actually, and then verse 43 also said that we're sown in weakness, but we're raised in power. Yes. Amen? Our power comes from the Holy Spirit. God put within every believer your very own power generator. How do I know that? Because John 7 talks about living water. He said, those who thirst, come after me, and I will give you living water. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Do you know that still water doesn't generate power? You've never seen a hydroelectric dam on a pond. Have you? If you're going to set up a hydroelectric dam, you got to have water that moves. I mean, there's a body of water in Israel called the Dead Sea. You know why it's called the Dead Sea? Because there's no movement. Some Christians are dead because there's no movement. Amen? You know, dead people don't move. Dead people don't talk. Dead people don't raise their hands. They're dead. Amen? But you get someone alive, they move. They speak. They raise their hands. You can take that for however you want. Okay, verse 44, it's sown in the natural body and it's raised in the spiritual body. Yeah, we started off in the natural, but we're not going to end in the natural. Amen? You're going to end in the spirit. But see, while you're in the natural, you've got to train your natural body to respond to your spirit man. Because before you knew Christ, it was the other way around. Your spirit man responded to your natural body. And you couldn't help but do that. But now that you come to Christ, now that you got to train your body. Listen, if a guy can train a lion to get on a stool, don't you think that we can train our bodies? I mean, he takes a whip and a chair, and that lion that could eat him alive gets on that chair. But see, as a believer now, you got to spend your life training your body to respond to your spirit. Your spirit needs to be in control now. That means when your body doesn't feel like praising the Lord, you bring your body along and you make it praise the Lord. It's called a sacrifice of praise. Amen. A sacrifice is when you don't really feel like doing it, but you do it anyway because you're sacrificing to God. And this is how we have to live our life now. Then he goes on to say, verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Jesus is the last Adam. What the first Adam couldn't do, the second Adam did. What the first Adam lost, the second Adam gained. What the first Adam failed to do, the second Adam accomplished. Jesus is the second Adam. And he is alive. He said, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? Three main objectives, in Jesus' name, touch this tongue. Three main objectives of the enemy is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And in order to do that, he's got to get your permission. You know that the enemy just can't come in you and destroy you without your permission? But Jesus said, I've come, why? That you may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm telling you, the spiritual life is the most abundant life you'll ever live. The spiritual life is the most gratifying life. It's the most satisfying life. When we're spiritually minded, it's a blast. I'm telling you, our God likes to have fun. He's a good God. He's not a bad God. If something bad happened in your life, I guarantee you God did not author it. But only he can take something bad and make something good out of it. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Are you getting excited about the benefits? I can hardly contain myself. Look at verse 10, Colossians chapter 3. And have put on the new man. Did you know that the new man was not made out of lemon juice? He was made out of the Spirit of God. Notice, whether or not you're wearing the new man is up to you. He equated it like clothing. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So how are we renewed? How is the new man renewed? In knowledge. So the more you know about God, the newer you become. You know, God, he'll renew your strength. You can renew your mind. Our outward man perishes, but our inward man is what? Being renewed every day. Yes, our bodies are frail. And as we age on this earth, our bodies become less and less new. Amen? You know? I didn't start off with gray hair. And why is it when you turn a certain age that you get hair coming out of places that you never expected? Like, what is that? But yet, see, this outward man, it's not being renewed. Because this outward man is going to be changed. The reason, it's not going to be renewed now, but it is going to be renewed when Jesus comes again. And see, the salvation that we have right now is simply a down payment. Did you know that the Spirit of God is just a guarantee of what's to come? He's just the down payment, but when Jesus comes, we're going to be able to be like Jesus and show up when the doors are closed. And we're still going to be able to eat, and people are still going to be able to touch us, but we're not going to feel any pain. We're not going to feel any sorrow. It's going to be glorious. But until that time comes, you've got to be renewed with knowledge. Knowledge about God is the thing that will renew you. Spiritual renewal is a process. It's a daily process. And you know, the Christian life is described as a walk, one step at a time. When you get born again, you do not instantly know everything there is to know about heaven and all of God's ways. I mean, how many ever discovered that? And even though I've walked with the Lord 30 plus years, I'm still excited about finding new things out that I didn't know. Amen. I should never get to the point on this earth where I think I've arrived. You know, you should never get to the point when you hear the scripture, John 3:16, you should never say, oh, I heard that before. Why? God may show you something that you've never seen in it. Amen. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. Yes. It's not a dead book. It is the Word of God. It has creative ability. And go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. How many people like to cook or bake? You know, having the right ingredients is important, isn't it? Those of you that like to cook and bake, are there things that you can add to your to your mixes to make them better? To make them more flavorful? Have you ever came across something that you've never tried, but then when you try it, you're like, wow. You know, it added a new dimension to this dish that you made or to this thing that you baked. Well, did you know that the Christian life also has ingredients that we need to add to make it better, to make it quicker? You know, how many remember the show The $6 Million Man, you know, with Lee Majors? I grew up watching The $6 Million Man. Some of you are probably saying, who's that? He was this astronaut who got into this accident, and they began to rebuild his body with bionics. And he had two bionic legs, a bionic arm, and a bionic eye. And I haven't watched that show in years, but I don't know why this stuff is still coming to me right now. But did you know that what they did to the bionic man, God does to you when you believe in him? You actually become, instead of bionic, you become heavenonic. And God replaces the old with something new on the inside, okay? And the $6 million man, I mean, he could run as fast as a car and all those things. He had like super strength. But you know what? We have super strength in God. And look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 2. If you ever wondered how grace and peace are multiplied in your life, look at grace and peace are multiplied unto you through what? Did you know that the more you know about God, grace and peace will multiply in your life? How many need grace to increase in your life? How many need more peace? Well, then you're going to have more knowledge. For the knowledge is the ingredient to add the multiplication to grace and peace in your life. No, it's not just any knowledge, though. It's the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us. Did it say going to give to us? Already has given to us. His divine power has given unto us how many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the natural and the spiritual. So you have everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. Say, I'm well equipped. Say, God has given me everything that I need to have a successful Christian life. God wants Christians to succeed. He wants Christians to prosper. 3 John 2, he said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So our souls have to prosper in order to enjoy prosperity and health, right? Okay? Whereby, so we have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You see how two things are connected here? It's all about the knowledge of God. It's all about knowing God. Eternal life is really knowing him. Okay? Wherefore, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, there was a time in my life where I considered myself to be adjective man. Some of you may have heard that. I tell people, have an awesome, fantastic, outstanding, wonderful, excellent day. I used to work at Blockbuster when I was in Tennessee going to school. And at Blockbuster, they always trained us to acknowledge the customer when they come in and to, you know, give them a good greeting when they go out. And people would rent their videos, okay? And they'd come to my counter and I'd say, have an awesome, fantastic night. And they'd be like, okay. You know, but it's amazing how people aren't used to that. We're so conditioned to respond to the negative that sometimes it's hard for us to respond to the positive. And when you got someone that's smiling saying, have an awesome, fantastic day, they'll be like, what are you on, JC and HG? You want some? It's free. Whereby, see, God was an adjective man. You think he put those words in there for nothing? Exceeding great and precious promises. We underestimate the value of God's promises. But these are exceeding great and precious promises. And because of these promises, notice that by these promises, what? You might be a partaker of the divine nature. What's a partaker? When you partake of something, what are you doing? You're having, you're sharing. Did you know that you can be a partaker of the divine nature? Who wants to partake of the divine nature? Who wants to share in the divine nature? Amen? It's based on how you, what promises you know. The promises make us, notice, might be partakers. What's going to make you a partaker is your faith in the promises. When you believe what God promised, you partake of the you partake of it, therefore you share in that nature. But it only comes to believers. It doesn't come automatic. Okay? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Woo! I'm glad I escaped corruption that's in the world. Corruption, eat my dust. Okay? Now here, he goes into these ingredients that are necessary for strong, vibrant faith. And beside this, giving a little bit of diligence. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? Giving all diligence or effort. Add to your faith. The first thing you need to add is virtue, moral excellence. Amen? If you were a liar before Christ, you better be a truth teller in Christ. Because when you come to Christ, you got to stop telling lies and you got to start telling the truth. If you were a thief before you knew Christ, you better be a giver knowing Christ. You were taking something that wasn't belonging to you before Christ, but now you're in Christ, you better be a giver. Paul was a murderer before he knew Christ, but now he's a preacher. Amen? Because he added virtue to his faith, which made his faith operate more effective. It made it more powerful. It made it taste better. Then what else do you add to your faith? You add knowledge. Study. Every believer should be a studier. Study. Paul told Timothy, a young pastor, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. Amen. What's going to gain God's approval? Studying. You've got to study this book. Yes. You've got to know this book. You should read through the Bible every year. Amen? Amen? And you could read through the New Testament, you could read through the Old Testament, you could read through the book, but you should be reading every day. We eat three times a day. How much do we read? Uh-oh. If I eat three times a day and I read once a day, I'm feeding my body more and my spirit less. It's a perspective. Okay, then what else do we add? Add temperance. What's temperance? Self-control. Oh, you mean God wants me to control myself? I can't blame my bad temper on anybody else but me. Uh-oh. Temperance is a fruit. It's a spiritual fruit. Say I am the only person who can control myself. You can't do something and say the devil made me do it. He can't make anybody do anything. God can't even make you do anything. If God could make people do something, he'd make us all get saved. And we'd go into the millennium right now. God cannot make a person get saved. He can only offer it, but a person has to choose it. What else are we supposed to add? To self-control, we're supposed to add patience. All right. Put patience on the grocery list. Some of you that use lists, put patience on the grocery list. How do you get patience? You are involved in a situation where you can't control how long it takes. But patience is all about an attitude. What is your attitude when you have to wait? Do you get all huffy and puffy? Some of us do. That just means you better go back to the grocery store and get some more patience. Where's the grocery store? Right here. You're missing an ingredient. Did you know that you inherit the promises through faith and patience? And then what else are we supposed to add? Godliness. We're supposed to add godliness, holiness. Bible says to be holy, for I am holy. That's what Peter said. We're supposed to be holy. The Bible didn't say to be holier than thou. It just said to be holy. Too many times we want to be holier than thou. We want to make ourselves the standard. But that's self-righteous, and we don't become righteous through ourselves. The Bible said be holy. It didn't say be holier than thou. I'm more holier than you. No, that's a wrong attitude. What else are you supposed to add? Brotherly kindness. We're supposed to be kind, not rude. And then we're supposed to add love, because if you don't have love, your faith will not work. Will not. Faith works by love. If you're not showing love, if you're not walking in love, if you're not demonstrating love, your faith will not work at all. When you go to believe God, you will fall flat on your face because there's a problem with your love walk. If your faith isn't working, check up on your love. So what we know about God activates the power in our lives. I like that. As you know about God's promises, you can partake of his divine nature and escape corruption. And I want to finish up with this. Your final destination is not here. Amen. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But he said, there are many, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. That word mansion means dwellings. We have a carpenter as a savior. Amen? No better person to build a home in heaven than the master carpenter himself. But he is going to prepare a place for you. He's going to build something that you like, that you enjoy, that inspires you, because he knows how you think. And when you get to heaven, you're going to have a dwelling place there. You're going to be in glory. You're going to be dwelling in a handcrafted, hand-designed, hand-built place that's just for you. We have a living hope on the inside of us that this life is not all there is. There's more than meets the eye to this life. There's a life beyond this life. There's going to be a life in heaven. And in heaven, it's going to be a glorious place. No night, no darkness, no sadness, no tear. The glory of God is going to be the light. We're going to be in glorified bodies, and we're going to be doing different things. Listen, when you get to heaven, you are not going to get a harp and a cloud and just be floating around all day. You do not become an angel when you get to heaven. You do not become a saint when you get to heaven. You become a saint when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You read the epistles? Who were they written to? The saints. The church. The called out ones. We have a hope of heaven. We have a living hope. Psalm 31, 19 and 20 says this, oh, how great is your goodness. You have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. Do you fear him today? Do you trust him today? Then he's got something prepared for you. It goes on to say, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of the tongues. Woo! God will keep you from strife of tongues. You know, there was a man by the name of Earthquake Kelly. He was a boxer. His hands make mine look small. Big man. And I heard him tell his testimony. He was raised to be a voodoo priest. And when his mother was pregnant with him, his father wanted to abort him. And the doctor went to abort him and couldn't find the baby. She was pregnant with the baby, and the doctor couldn't find the baby to abort him because his mother got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And she was praying, and God hid that little baby inside that womb. Amen? And from the time he was a little boy, they only allowed him 2 hours of sleep a night from the age of 6 to 16. The devil had a plan to destroy his life, but God had a plan to prosper him. He's not a voodoo priest. He preaches the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't know why I said that, but there is a home for us in heaven where it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And as a believer in Christ, right before you get to heaven, God's given you authority to operate on this earth. You can use the name of Jesus. When you say in the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus himself is right here. We have got to develop our spiritual life. Because when you develop your spiritual life, when you grow in the knowledge of God, when you make your progress, see, people need to see your progress. Paul told Timothy, he said, meditate on these things that your progress may be seen to all. If no one's seeing your progress, I doubt if you're growing. Amen? But there are so many benefits that God has for us as spiritual beings. And when we develop our spiritual life, when we add these things to our faith, when we become who we are in Christ Jesus, you've got to know who you are so that the devil can't convince you otherwise.
Amen.
You've got to be confident in who Jesus made you to be.
Amen.
He made you. He didn't make you someone else. Don't try to be someone else.
Amen.
Do what God's called you to do. And don't compare yourself with someone else because you're different.
Yes.
Celebrate your differences. But we have benefits that God has given to us as spiritual beings, and I've only touched the surface. I've only touched the tip of the iceberg. There's so many more benefits that we could talk about. But when we get to heaven, we'll accelerate in learning because we won't have all the distractions of this earth. But right now, we can set our sights higher. We can set our sights up to heaven. We can be heavenly-minded beings while we're walking on this earth. We can be in communication with God while we're living, and God will be involved in everything of your daily life. God loves you. He's not someone who's distant or far away, but he actually comes and lives in your heart. That's the way he designed it. So when we carry out, when we function like God created us to function, when we do what he's called us to do, when we believe with simple childlike faith, when we just take God at his word and don't try to make it too complex, God, the gospel is simple. But the gospel is also the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. I know I've probably touched on a lot of different things today. But I want you to know that you are a spiritual being. And you have a spiritual life. And The younger you came to know the Lord, the better, because sometimes it's hard to unlearn things, isn't it?
Yeah.
You ever find that it's hard to unlearn things? It's hard to undo habits that we've established, right? But with God's help, he'll help you change your habits. He'll help you change your life. Amen?
Yes.
And we can experience the glory and the goodness of God. 2 Corinthians 3 tells us, don't look to the things that are temporal. But he said, look to the eternal. Look to the invisible. All right? Our focus has to be on Jesus. And we come to church not because you like me or you like the atmosphere. You come to church because you love God. We have to come to church for higher reasons than some of these petty little things that we used to not come to church. Amen. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is here because we are gathered in his name. And he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I am right there. I am in the midst. Jesus is here. His spirit is here. His word has gone forth.
Amen.
And he is a loving God. He is a powerful God. And he wants to touch you where you are.
Amen.
But I guarantee you that when he touches you, you won't stay where you are.
Amen.
He will elevate you. He will make you sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I just want you to know that you have benefits. It's worth being a Christian. Amen? We have nothing to be ashamed about. I like the Apostle Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. We don't have to be ashamed of being a believer or going to this church or when someone tells you that church. Amen? Our God is real God.
Amen.
And the Bible, we can apply it to our lives. Actually, we should apply our life to it because it's the standard.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why don't you stand up with me? Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord for a moment. Show him how excited you are about the benefits. How wonderful it is to be forgiven. How awesome it is to be redeemed. How incredible it is to be transferred out of darkness and into his light. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. And maybe you're here today because today is your day. Today is the day that God designed for you to be connected with his power. If you need a healing in your body, if you need God to touch you in whatever way, if you need a touch in your finances, I'd like to pray for you today. I feel anointed to pray for people today. If there's anything that you need to overcome in today, today is your day. Today is a day that we go beyond the barrier and we break through the chains that have held us and bound us. Today is a day that we connect with the power of God. Just like Marie did when she was by herself. Well, she wasn't by herself, amen? She had a friend who stood closer than a brother. He was right there to help her. So if you have a need today in your life, if you're experiencing any kind of barrier, God wants to break the barrier. So if that's you, I just want you to come up and allow me to pray for you and release the anointing of God and let God touch you. You need prayer?